This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Iran is saying no more talking. They're moving forward with testing on their ballistic missile program, despite the fact that the U.S. claims it violates a U.N. Security Council resolution. Is it too late to slow down Iran's military expansion? Chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Arizona Senator John McCain, is here for that discussion. And speaking of the military, as more and more veterans are seeking help and healing from the physical and emotional scars of war, the Obama administration's Veterans Affairs has launched an attack on really the very thing that can help many of these veterans. General Jerry Boykin is here to explain. Now, this may sound like a joke, but it's real. Now, X-Hamster, a purveyor of online porn, is the latest to denounce North Carolina. Wait until you hear what they had to say. And on the topic of pornography, Josh McDowell returns to give us an update on last week's Set Free Global Summit in North Carolina. We'll be talking with him a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guest. You can also find out information about how you can stay informed on issues that pertain to faith, family, and freedom by signing up for our alerts, our legislative alerts, and our daily update. All that information found at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T. Perkins. By the way, let me remind you, April the 17th, that's this coming Sunday, Stand with the Persecuted. This is your opportunity for your church to join with thousands of other churches across the country and taking just a few moments in your Sunday morning service to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the globe for no other reason than simply they identify with Jesus Christ. There's resources there at the website, TonyPerkins.com. You follow the links over. We've got a two-minute video that sets the stage for the prayer time at your church. Again, just asking for a few moments as we gather together in churches across the country. The administration finally coming to the point of declaring what is taking place in the Middle East as genocide. We have a role to play in this. And you can find out more again at the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. I do want to encourage you, folks, we are able to bring this program to you, Washington Watch, because of supporters like you. This is completely listener-funded. We're watching Washington, but we're not funded by Washington. We're in Washington, but not of Washington. And the only way we keep this going is with your financial support. And if you'd like to partner with the Family Research Council, you can find out more, again, by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and following the links over. Email me, Tony@TonyPerkins.com. In fact, I'd love to hear from our listeners. Get quite a few responses from our listeners in the Bot Radio Network. We're thankful to be partnering with Bot. And you can tell us what you think. And we share that with our team, and we put that out there for our supporters on a regular basis so they can see the impact they're having and reaching people with information you'll find no place else. And speaking of some of that information that you'll find no place else, at POW MIA Missing Man displays across several VA medical clinics, something is missing. You know what it is? It's the Bible. The Military Religious Freedom Foundation is making efforts once again to make sure the good book is not in its rightful place on these displays on what they call federal property. The group is claiming that the inclusion of the Bible is against the federal law. Well, as of now, at least three VA medical clinics and one Air Force base have complied with the demands. But this is where you come in. We can change that. Joining me now with the latest on this is FRC's Executive Vice President. He's a 36-year Army veteran, founding member of Army's Delta Force, Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you today.
All right. This group, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, has kind of been dark for a while, but obviously they've come back. And they're attacking the Bible at these POW MIA displaced. Now, first, before we jump into, just explain to our listeners the significance of the Bible in these displays and what it means.
Well, let me tell you what it means in the words of a lady who is the national chairman for the League of POWMIA Families, and this is what she says the Bible is. The Bible kept many of our POWs alive and sustained their families through decades of uncertainty. And by the way, Tony, she has a brother that is still an MIA today, missing, shot down in 1966. The Bible has always been part of the tradition. Until now, no one has ever suggested the Bible should be removed from the table. That's coming from the sister of a man that is still an MIA today. This is an egregious thing. And look, I don't want to be crass in saying this, but, you know, these people are bottom feeders. I mean, they really are, that would do this. No families of POWs have ever complained. None of the former POWs have ever complained.
Well, it's interesting. I'm going to have in the next segment Senator John McCain, who is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. He was shot down over Vietnam, spent a number of years in a Vietnamese prison camp. And he sat on my sofa in my office and recounted to me the story as a prisoner and the importance that the Bible had to him and how he recited it, remembered it, and it gave him strength through his ordeal.
Well, that's right. And other POWs have also reflected on how knowledgeable McCain actually was of Scripture. They've talked about that in the past. I've read and heard such things. And so Senator McCain is a witness to the fact that the Bible and the strength that was drawn from the Bible and the Word of God was very important to just being able to survive the POW experience.
I'm going to make a note to ask him about that when we have him on next. What's going on here? What has given this group, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, what has given them the ability to go into these VA clinics and have the Bible removed?
Well, as you know, they've got a long history of going after Christianity and any expression of faith within the military. And the military has really kind of reached the point where they for the most part, they ignore them. I think they've recognized what these people are all about. And so now they've turned to the VA, which is still sort of virgin territory to them. And they haven't completely dropped their efforts against the military, but they've turned to the VA now, which is a softer target. We just sent a letter.
A softer target. Explain that a little bit, because I think they are separate from the military.
Oh, yeah.
And more, I mean, you've got the president appoints the person that's over top of that. Right. And so they're more in line with the administration than the military, although the military is too. But as you say, it's easier to get to them because it's a political appointees.
That's right. It's like, the VA is like just another cabinet office, if you will, and appointed by the president, as you said, and confirmed by the Senate. So they don't operate under the Secretary of Defense's authority or any of the services authorities. And they have clinics all over the country. They have hospitals and that type of thing. So now they're going around targeting these things. And here's what's really sad, though, is these are the weakest leaders. These leaders at the VA clinics that immediately, with a knee-jerk reaction, they go take these things out. They're weak leaders.
Is it because they're weak? Are they looking for somebody? Is there some, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but I mean, and that's not what I'm saying, there's a conspiracy, but I would say, is it that this Religious Freedom from Religion Foundation actually has found soulmates within the VA that is actually ready and willing to comply if they simply make a little noise?
Well, certainly. I think that much of what this administration has brought into our government is aligned with the thoughts and sort of the agenda of these people and call themselves the, you know, Military Religious Freedom Foundation or whatever it is. Again, I would just say to you, Tony, these are real bottom feeders. But they're just a bunch of people. All this is about for them, Tony, is money. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the head of this thing, it was discovered and actually published that 80% of every penny they take in goes into his pocket. This is about money for me. He can't stop. He's addicted to this. He can't stop because it's all about money for him.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this, Tuesday.
The 12th. Today would have been my father's 90th birthday had he lived.
Wow. Yeah. It's the week, actually the weekend rolled into the week, so I'm having a hard time keeping. I got to make marks on the wall here to know where I'm at. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more. Go to the website. Let me ask you this, General. You mentioned that this is the same organization that was targeting primarily the Air Force. That's that's been where Mikey Weinstein has made his name.
Yeah.
But the door looks like it's being shut to them on the military. The military is not listening to them, and so now they've changed and they're going to these VA clinics.
Yeah, that's right. They've worn their welcome out with the military. You know, they'll every now and then they'll pop back up and they'll, you know, somebody that hadn't gotten a word will respond to them in the wrong way. But let me just say something else, Tony. I just before your program, for other reasons, I just went back and reviewed a video of a prisoner of war that was beaten almost to death before he would make a statement. And then he gave a statement, but while he was giving that statement, he blinked the word torture. His name is Jeremiah Denton. He was a senator.
Right.
Now,
I
want
a chance to meet him.
Yeah, and he was a good, godly man. Now, I'd ask you to transition forward to January of this year when two patrol boats were seized off the coast of Iran, and within hours, a Naval Academy graduate, 2011, Naval Academy graduate, was telling the Iranians that this was all our fault, and he was sorry, and thanking them for their hospitality. What has happened to our military? And if we, if the listeners on your program today would get involved, many of them signed the petition that's being delivered to the Secretary of the Veterans Affairs, Secretary McDonnell, that is being delivered to him protesting what happened in these VA clinics. But if your listeners will understand that when they sign a petition, when they make phone calls, when they get engaged with us, it makes a huge difference, and it's made a lot of difference in what's been going on.
Now, how many thousand petitions were you delivering?
I think we had about 68,000 names on those petitions that we sent over to McDonnell.
And we will obviously keep you informed, folks, with the response we get from the VA on this. And I know, General, this is not something you're going to let go. You're going to continue to track every move that the this organization makes in terms of trying to remove God, the Bible, and religion from our nation's military.
And let me say that this is a coalition effort. We lead it. But this is a coalition of some of our allies, you know, like the Liberty Institute, like the Liberty Council, like American Family Association, like the Chaplains Alliance. There's a lot of people, and I would encourage people to go online and find Todd Starnes' article on this event.
Yeah, there's a new article out today, actually, on this, another case. General, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for leading that effort to defend the religious freedom of our men and women who have served our nation. All right, folks, that's another reason to go to TonyPerkins.com and sign up for our legislative alerts so that when these things happen, you will be the first to know. And you can sign those petitions, and as the general said, they're delivered and they make a difference. One Navy chaplain is still in the Navy today because you signed a petition. We delivered over 100,000 to the chief of chaplains. He's still on the job today because of you. All right, when we come back, Senator John McCain of Arizona, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, joins us. So don't go away. We're back right after this. One of the questions I often receive from our listeners is, what can I do right here in my community to make a difference? The answer? A lot. And one of the most effective ways to make a difference right where you live is by organizing and leading a culture impact team in your church. A culture impact team, or CIT, will help keep the members of your church both informed and engaged through a wide variety of tools that we can place in your hands. Go to cultureimpact.org today for more information and order a Culture Impact Toolkit. We can provide you with all the training and materials you need to keep your church informed, inspired, and engaged. It's all free, and we can send it out to you today when you visit cultureimpact.org. Invite your friends at a church to join you in setting up a Culture Impact team. We want to help you answer the question, what can I do to make a difference? So visit cultureimpact.org
or call us today, toll-free, 800-225-4008.
What does it mean to be equal? According to the dictionary, equal means the same for each person. Last year, the so-called Equality Act was introduced in Congress by adding sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal civil rights law. This act would give special perks to some people just because they identify as homosexual or transgender. It's important to remember that many bills introduced in Congress have positive-sounding titles that hide their true agendas. The Equality Act is a perfect example. This bill puts people who live out their faith on unequal footing under the law. It imposes sexual orientation and gender identity provisions on religious schools and universities, rejects the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and so much more. FRC's new publication on this legislation is a brief summary of the dangers this bill poses towards those who hold a biblical view of marriage and the family. Visit frc.org/equalityact to learn more.
After 8 years of sustained attack on our most cherished values by the Obama administration, the 2016 presidential election will prove to be a critical juncture for our nation. FRC Action is here to help prepare you to vote with the Values Voter Presidential Voter Guide. Determining the right presidential candidate to lead our nation can be difficult amidst the media spin of political rhetoric. Our voter guide includes each candidate's answer to important questions affecting faith, family, and freedom. It compiles the candidate's stated positions on a range of issues, including Planned Parenthood funding, the repeal of Obamacare, the future of natural marriage, the protection of religious liberty, and more. Go to frcaction.org/2016 to view the Values Voter Guide. You can also watch videos of the candidates explain how they would protect our religious freedom as president. Again, that's frcaction.org/2016.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of resources there for you, including information about Stand With the Persecuted. This coming Sunday, April the 17th, churches across the nation will be joining together for just a few moments to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for nothing more than being followers of Jesus Christ. Hope your church is participating. To find out more, again, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins, you can keep up with me there. Also, we have each day, I send out a little devotional by tweet. You can follow that and read that each day. Just a little encouraging thought to start your day. All right, the successful relationship between the United States and Iran continues. That's a little sarcasm there. Now, this past weekend, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Zarif, stated that his country's missile program is not up for negotiation, a direct contrast from what we've heard from the discussions in the Obama administration. Last Thursday, Secretary of State John Kerry said the U.S. and our partners were prepared to work on a new arrangement to find a peaceful solution to these issues. A little late. Iran's foreign minister dismissed that, saying, why does the administration continue to try and negotiate with? This is over. We're going forward with developing our missile program. Joining me now with analysis on this is the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Arizona Senator John McCain, a Navy veteran. Senator, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony, and I think it's important that we continue this conversation about the Iranian behavior, and it isn't just missiles, and I'd be glad to talk a lot more of their activities, but I think it's pretty clear that the money is being used for purposes, a lot of it that over time can harm Americans' national security interest, including a new air defense missile capabilities that they just got from Russia that are being installed. I'm sure you saw that.
Is there anything positive that came out of this agreement with Iran that the Obama administration negotiated?
I'm sure if we looked hard enough, there might, well, that they would ship out some of their fissionable materials, I think, is a plus. But basically what we've done is say 10 years from now, you can do whatever you want. And as you mentioned before we spoke, they have continued to develop their missile capabilities. They're in violation of UN sanctions. And one thing that's kind of interesting, you know, that there's certain signals in anecdotal of events. When they tested two missile capabilities in Hebrew, they wrote on both of those missiles, as I'm sure you know, "Death to Israel." They make no bones about their ambitions and their what they view as their mission, and that is, they are an existential threat to the state of Israel, which is, by the way, as a side effect, as you know, we now have the worst relationship with Israel than we've had since Israeli independence. The way that that our president has treated Benjamin Netanyahu is disgraceful. It's just absolutely disgraceful. And I don't have to remind our listeners that Israel happens to be the only free elected democratic government in all of the Middle East. And it's look, I think a lot of, Tony, I think a lot of bad things are going to happen in the next 9 months before we get a new president, because I think Vladimir Putin, the Iranians, the Chinese, and others, and the folks in Raqqa, believe that they're never going to have a better deal than the one they got now with a president who believes in leading from behind.
Well, let me ask you about that, Senator. You say something bad's going to happen. I mean, we're talking now about bad deals that have been negotiated. Russia, with their New START agreement that doesn't take effect until February 2018, they're continuing to expand their nuclear arsenal. But do you anticipate some type of international military incident, security that concerns America between now and the next president taking office?
I'm sure you are familiar with General Clapper, or maybe some of our listeners aren't.
Yes.
He's the Director of National Intelligence, the number one intelligence person in our government, and he testified before our committee, and he was pretty candid. He said there will be more attacks in Europe, and there will be attacks in the United States of America. Either the San Bernardino style, where they're self-radicalized, or one of these young men that we know that have been sent by the hundreds by the leader of ISIS, Baghdadi, into the refugee flow with secure iPhones that will then contact ISIS leadership when they get to where they want to go and orchestrate attacks on the United States of America. One thing we're finding out about Brussels and Paris, as you well know, is that the network was much larger and much more sophisticated than we had ever thought possible, and it was almost by accident that greater damage wasn't done in Brussels and in Paris. So there will be attacks on the United States of America and in Europe. That should give any of us pause. And I think that some of our listeners are now saying, well, what do you want to do about it? I'll tell you what I want to do about it, and that is a 100,000-person force, 90% of it from Sunni Arab countries like Saudi Arabia and Turkey and others, and go to Raqqa and kill them, and then worry about this radicalization of Islam and that is going on in the world. But we're either going to fight them there or we're going to fight them here.
That's true.
And the president continues to set up this straw man to do nothing or send a couple of 100,000. That's not what we're saying. And also a no-fly zone, as you know, Tony, so that these refugees can have some place to go besides flooding Europe.
Absolutely. And Senator, we're up against a break. Can I ask you to hold for 2 minutes? Because I want to follow up with something you said at the beginning of this interview that I think is very important. Can you hold?
Sure.
All right, good.
Sure.
Senator McCain's going to stick around. I hope you will as well. We're up against this break, but I want to come back. I want to explore a little further what he said about how this money that's gone to Iran is being used. And then I'm also going to ask him about the Bible in the POW/MIA displays that I mentioned earlier. So don't go away. We're back right after this.
Does the U.S. Senate have a responsibility to confirm anyone that President Obama nominates to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat? After the passing of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, an intense political debate has emerged around this crucial question. The Constitution does not require conditions or limitations on the manner in which the Senate must act if the president nominates. Family Research Council believes that the Senate should not consider or deliberate on any nominee President Obama puts forward to fill Justice Scalia's vacated seat. This is because the president has consistently nominated Supreme Court justices and federal judges who view the Constitution as a malleable political instrument instead of a text with a defined meaning based on the consensus held by the Founding Fathers. To learn more about this critical issue, including 8 helpful questions and answers, visit frc.org/Supreme Court. That's frc.org/Supreme Court.
Have you ever thought about what it would be like to check your faith at the door before heading into work? America is made up of religious people. Many of those believers are business owners. When they go to work each day, they can't just check their beliefs at the door. Their deeply held convictions are infused into many aspects of their work. And it's not just businesses. Nonprofit organizations driven by a religious mission engage in humanitarian work, feed the hungry, clothe the needy, and house the poor, among a multitude of other charitable activities. We must work to protect the rights of everyone to pursue their deeply held beliefs in all aspects of their lives, including their jobs. Indeed, we should celebrate religion in businesses and nonprofits because religious belief motivates much of the good that is done through the jobs that are created and maintained and the charitable works that are performed, benefiting all of society. For an analysis of religious businesses and nonprofit organizations that strengthen society and why their religious freedom must be protected, visit frc.org/faithandwork.
God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. God's not dead, he's surely alive.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. My guest, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator from the state of Arizona, my good friend, Senator John McCain. Senator, thanks for staying over on the break.
It's a pleasure.
You mentioned at the beginning about how the money that the United States released to Iran through this deal negotiated with the administration is being used. What do we know about where that money is going?
Well, we know that we just intercepted a shipload full of weapons that were headed to Yemen to provide the most sophisticated weaponry to the Houthis, who are attempting to take over Yemen. If the Saudis had not intervened there, which they did, Yemen would now be in the hands of radical Islam, the Houthis, who were sponsored by the Iranians. It would have extended the Iranian sphere of influence. We know that they have continued their work on missile capabilities. That's the test of the two missiles that you and I talked about earlier, which, although technically not in violation of the agreement, is in violation of the UN sanctions.
Right, two separate things.
They continue to prop up Bashar Assad with the Hezbollah from Lebanon and Iranian Revolutionary Guard troops on the ground, who are now making significant gains in Aleppo, where the opposition is now basically being destroyed. And the Syrians announced that under no circumstances would there be a departure from Bashar Assad from power, as they are continue to be propped up with Russian bombing of the moderate forces. And so we continue to see Iranian behavior in the region and the statements made by their leadership and their purchases of weaponry, especially from Russia, as we mentioned. So it's turned into a situation where we have now made an agreement which is temporary in nature, even if it were adequately enforced, and they are violating other sanctions as well. Their rhetoric hasn't changed. There has been no improvement in human rights in Tehran. In fact, there are indications that they are worse. And this is what we have gotten for it. And no matter what they do, it's either covered up or diminished in the view of the administration because they don't want to jeopardize this agreement. And finally, the best attitude to that, and you know this as a former military person, the humiliation of our Navy personnel.
Oh, yeah.
On those two ships, and the way they propagandized it, and the way they gave medals and put out on the internet the Americans apologizing. That's one of the most disgraceful things in American history.
Yes.
And our Secretary of State thanked them. Thanked them. I'm not making that up. Thanked them for returning the sailors.
Yeah, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I agree with you 100%. Senator, one final question. I want to switch gears. Earlier, I had General Jerry Boykin, who you know very well, on the program.
A great man.
And
we were
talking about the VA under the Obama administration that in a number of places now has removed the Bible from the POW/MIA displays. You came up in that discussion because I said, well, I'm going to have Senator McCain on here just a moment, and we talked about how when you and I talked about this years ago, when you were a POW, how you recited the Bible, how you remembered it, how you actually used that to help strengthen some of your other members of the military, your fellow POWs, with those encouraging words. I wanted to get your thoughts on that, how the VA is taking out something that has been a source of strength to many who have served in our nation's military.
Well, first of all, you think they might have something to do with the ongoing scandal, the ongoing disgraceful scandal that's going on in the VA. I would say that whether there's a Bible or not, there was something that I would concentrate on, this terrible situation where veterans have literally died while awaiting on non-existent waiting list. But the second of all, of course, a Bible is important. Of course, we demonstrated once the Vietnamese put us into large rooms that we demanded to have a church service, and they finally gave in on that. Yes, a Bible was given to me just before. I was allowed to copy out of a Bible just before Christmas of the last year that we were there so that we could have a Christmas service and worship God. They let me copy portions out of a Bible that they had. This was in the last year of our confinement. You get beyond anger, Tony. You get to just sorrow that they would think that the removal that of the presence of a Bible, which is so important, our religious faith is so important to all of us, men and women who are serving in the military, that it just makes you. I pray for the next election.
Yes, pray and work. Senator John McCain, as always, pleasure to have a conversation with you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. See you. Bye.
All right. Senator John McCain of Arizona, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And I have to tell you, he's worked very closely with us on defending religious freedom in our nation's military. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue a conversation with Josh McDowell, who was with us last week, to talk about a summit that he had regarding pornography and solutions to a problem that is closer to home than you might think. Don't go away. When we come back here on Washington Watch, Josh McDowell joins us. Don't go away. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. While the world celebrated an empty tomb, terrorists in Pakistan tried to fill them. For Christians in the Middle East, there is no peace, not even on Easter Sunday. That's when a deadly explosion took the lives of 29 children and more than 40 others. The target, the Taliban said, was Christians. And while the White House can't bring itself to admit the religious nature of the attack, dozens of graves are filled with the evidence that these weren't just citizens, but Christians murdered by radical Muslims. If we want to defeat the enemy, we have to know who they are. We must pray for the persecuted and for the persecutors. You can help. Join us on April the 17th for Stand with the Persecuted Sunday as we pray and act. Find out how your church can get involved. Go to frc.org/stand. That's frc.org/stand.
Do you enjoy history, museums, pandas, and national monuments? And are you looking to gain work experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, come spend a semester as an intern in Washington, D.C. with the Family Research Council. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and attend congressional hearings, events, rallies, and lectures all over D.C. Further, you will develop your skills in research and writing about the sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty, and many other policy issues. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. To learn more and apply to the program, visit frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships.
Are you prepared to stand for real change? Mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Join thousands of like-minded Americans who envision a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at the Values Voters Summit have included Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Governor Mike Huckabee, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dr. Ben Carson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Ollie North, Mark Levin, and many others. In addition, there will be ample opportunity to network and meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. On September 9th through 11th, stand with us and fight for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to watch last year's event. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. To find out more about it. You like that new music? It's a little different there, isn't it? I'm not sure what I feel like. Anyway, website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. I saw this morning, and I'll have to tell you, I thought at first it was a joke, okay? Many people are wondering how to get porn out of their communities. Well, now they know. Make bathrooms gender-specific. That's all it took in North Carolina, where one of the country's leading adult sites is hitting the road to protest HB2. A day after Bruce Springsteen's tirade, ex-hamster, which is an online purveyor of porn, is the latest liberal group to jump on the bandwagon out of town. Like PayPal, the site is livid that the governor, Pat McCrory, is giving local businesses the freedom to set their own policies as it pertains to their bathrooms, locker rooms, and so on. This is what they said. This is ex-hamster. Quote, "Sorry, bigots," they tweeted. "As of today, access to xhamster.com is blacked out in the state of North Carolina until further notice. Judging by the stats of what you North Carolinians watch, we feel this punishment is a severe one. We will not stand by and pump revenue into a system that promotes this type of garbage. We respect all sexualities and embrace them," end quote. I had to laugh. In the end, the only people that will be affected by this site's exit from the state are the people that the officials in North Carolina are trying to protect those who use public facilities from. I mean, even for them to think that they are a legitimate business. Anyway, this brings up the conversation I want to have with my good friend Josh McDowell. He was on last week. We were talking about a summit, international summit that they had regarding pornography, which is not just a problem out there. According to a $250,000 survey that Josh did in conjunction with the Barna Group,
It's a problem in here, inside the church. It's a growing problem, and it is affecting families everywhere. Last week, their meeting was to not just talk about the problem, but to develop solutions and a path forward. Josh joins us with an update. Josh, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, it's good to get back, Tony.
Well, after your gathering, I wanted to circle back around with you because we wanted to hear the outcome. What are some of the tangible takeaways that your summit produced last week?
Well, one thing is we had a full house, 868 leaders from 362 organizations in 20-some countries. And probably one of the biggest takeaways, I don't think anyone as knowledgeable as it was realized how profound and deeply ingrained into culture, every aspect, church, everything, is pornography. It's just hard to grasp its intrusion and how it's permeated even the church to the point where 93%, this is incredible, Tony, 93% of church young adults, 13 to 24, say whenever they talk to their friends about pornography, it's always in a neutral, positive, or encouraging to do it sense. A second thing we took away is that how profound pornography is in this sense. It's not just a simple solution, pray and go and read the scriptures.
Yeah.
That there's literal physical changes in your brain. And we need some literal physical solutions to those changes and not just spiritual. And I think that woke a lot of people up. I would say this, on a scale of 10, how much is the solution spiritual? 6. Another thing we took away is that there is not one country, culture, church in the world that does not have a problem with pornography. And yet 53% of evangelical pastors will say, we don't have that problem in our church.
Yeah, let's go. Through some of those statistics because some of our listeners may not have tuned in last week when you were going over it, where 54% of church-going men confess to looking at explicit images and videos at least once a month. That's over half. You look out over your congregation, at least half of the men out there have looked at this in any given month. But it's not just a problem with men. Your survey showed that it's a problem with women as well.
Of women 13 to 25 years old, 56% actively seek out porn on the internet.
And it's not just in the pew. There's also a problem in the pulpit.
Oh, yes. 54% of senior pastors, 60-some percent of youth pastors have or are currently struggling with pornography. There's probably 50,000 pastors in the United States who are addicted, not just watch, they're addicted to pornography.
And your underlying point, and this is what really, it stuck with me. In fact, I've talked about it a lot over the last week. The interview you and I did last week has created some buzz, and a lot of people have listened to it. The fact that this robs pastors and Christians of their spiritual vitality and basically it leaves them unable to successfully walk the spiritual walk that God has called us to walk.
Yes. It actually, God gave us our prefrontal cortex in our brain as a place of moral choices. That's where we choose to follow Him, to serve Him, to love Him. Everything is in your prefrontal cortex. That's where we can look at decisions and evaluate their consequences and all. And it shows in less than a half second, pornographic images totally bypasses this area of your brain. And it goes straight to your limbic system, which is pure, raw emotions. This is why men are willing to sell out their wives, their years of marriage, their family, their children, their church, their ministry. Because here's the principle. When you give in to your cravings, you give up on your reasoning.
Right.
And that means your spirituality. And so when people say, well, almost every pastor I ever asked in 5 years, how do you deal with pornography? I think 100% said, well, it's no different than any other addiction. And that's when I know they have no idea what they're talking about.
In fact, your survey shows that only 7% of churches actually have programs dealing with pornography addiction to help people overcome that.
But do you know how exciting that is?
Well, you got plenty of opportunities.
One of the presenters brought it out. He said, 10 years ago, when I started, he'd come out of pornography. He said, the number of churches was zero. He said, just think, we're at least now up to 7% have any kind of program or anything to help someone with pornography. And so at least we have 7%, but the sad thing is 93% of all churches have nothing to help a person with the greatest threat to the cause of Christ in the history of the world.
Oh.
Or as Chuck Swindoll says, the greatest cancer in the church. 93% of churches have nothing to help them with. Wow.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Josh McDowell, my guest. We're discussing the outcome from last week's global summit dealing with pornography. Josh, in partnership with the Barna Group, actually funding commissioning a research project through Barna, $250,000 study, largest of its kind, into pornography, its presence and effects in the church. All right, you said something. I want to go back to something you said earlier about how, yes, it is spiritual. There is a spiritual component of this, but it's physiological as well. There's a physical
yes.
component too. How do we address that? I mean, once the brain is changed by this, and these images oftentimes are burnt into. I mean, they're carved into the mind. How is that undone?
Well, I think here a problem well defined is half solved. The images of pornography are so powerful, they're called supernormal. They're so powerful that when you start watching pornography, your brain starts to create a nerve pathway through your brain. It's called a neural pathway. And you've heard the phrase, cells that fire together, wire together. Well, when you see pornography, certain cells fire. And the moment they fire, they create a connection. And then every time, a second later, 2 minutes later, you see pornography again, it broadens and deepens those connections between your cells. So that after a short period of time, you see something, maybe a certain smell, a certain sight, a view, advertising on swimming suits, anything else, your brain, it'll trigger the pornographic neural pathways. And all of a sudden, here you seem to be doing great. Boom! You go right down the pathway.
But that is, by God's design, that's actually when it's used in the right way, that's a positive thing.
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely. And what it means is, physiologically, we need to build stronger and more powerful pathways. Like, for example, taking up the hobby of music. It's got to be something you really love that causes your cells to fire. It could be exercise, workout. It could be antique lover, collecting, redoing antiques, etc. Something you love that when you think of it, dopamine is released and the cells will fire and build another pathway that will become stronger, which is very difficult, than the pathway of pornography. Let me show you what a pathway is like. Let's say, Tony, you build a house, and behind you, a friend of yours builds a house. In between your houses is a marsh. So you want to go over to see your friend. You go out there and say, oh, my gosh, how do I get across here? My shoes ruined. So you carefully, you go to the right a little bit, the left, the right, over here to this tree and over, and you're there. Maybe you knock down a few pieces of grass. An hour later, when you return to your house, you're thinking, I got to go back the same way. So you look, and you knock down a little more grass. 2 days later, you go over to see your friend. Your brain tells you, go to the pathway you created. After a while, you create a barren pathway going over there. And the next time when you walk out of your house, your brain doesn't even have to think because those cells fire and take you right exactly to that pathway. And that's what happens in our brain.
So this is going to take, and this is where churches come in. And I, well, first off, I would say to parents, look, after my interview last week with you, Josh, I went home, made sure my wife heard the interview and my kids to understand the dangers. And this is something we've talked about. So this is nothing new to our family, but we talked about it. But the urgency of what you shared, the prevalence of the problem, the depth of the problem, and how it's stealing. It's stealing our spiritual vitality and our future as a church. This has the church in shackles, and we're in bondage in keeping us from the mission we've been called to.
You know, let me add one thing there. You said it goes back to the parents. I believe everybody says, well, the parents are on the front line. No, I believe the pastors are. Why did God give the church to train parents?
Right.
And one area of spiritually training them to present the biblical and healthy and credible view of sexuality and build that into their children's lives. Who are to help the parents do that?
No question.
Church.
No question.
And right now, the church, for the most part, is not doing it. And boy, do I hope to change that.
And you have resources available for that.
Well, I wish I had all the financial resources right now. Yes, today I just got from the organization we've hired to help us take, we have material in our hands that nobody has ever had in history. How do we take this now? How do we package it to help every pastor, every church in the world, every parent, every child? And it'll probably take us 9 months to 10 months, you know, to get, it's going to be over $1.5 million, and to get these things designed and then dispense them. And I really believe that within 3, at the maximum 4 years, we're going to impact 615 million people. And if we can do that, it's worth everything, all the effort, the money, the broken hearts, everything.
Well, we want to help you get that out to churches across America, and I commit to you to help you reach the churches that the thousands of churches that are in our network.
Well, I just might call on you for that, Tony.
Well, you're more than welcome. I want to join with you because I think this is of vital concern to the church today. Josh, we're out of time. I want to thank you, my friend, for joining us, and I am 100% with you.
Just go to setfreesummit.org and you can start downloading the material.
All right, very good. We'll be talking very soon. Josh McDowell, folks, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. Very important, critical. All right, folks, thanks for joining with us. And again, I invite you to stand with us, support us, be a part of the extended family of Washington Watch. Go to tonyperkins.com and find out how you can be a part of this ministry. All right, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit tonyperkins.com.